I have asked Sandra to come up and help me. It was quite interesting. Hal and Max are alike, and Sandra and I are alike. So I thought it would help to get somebody else's view on how they, like how Sandra has worked on this. So why don't you come help me? Up here. Pardon? Oh, this is fine. I'm comfortable sitting down. I'm comfortable standing. I didn't know if everyone could see.
Yeah, I think isn't it easier for you to see us? It's easier for us to have eye contact with you. But she's going to carry the main load, and I'm going to amen her, okay, or give my 2 cents.
And I'll ask her a lot of questions. Do you have questions you want to ask before we do anything? Yes, she says. Okay. What are some of the positives or strengths of being a choleric girl or woman, she asked. Well, I'll have to say that for a while, for some time, I battled being a choleric. How many of you would say you're that driven, that Heidi person? Quite a few, really. Well, I really battled that because it seemed like, I don't know if you found this, Sandra, but a lot of times, Heidi, even men, are put down, and more so high women. And I went through a stage where I resented being a choleric. Did you ever do that, mm-hmm. Sandra?
I mean, I am at times embarrassed by my own strength, you know, because I don't like to be looked at as bossy and domineering, and because I just really don't want to be that way. And when I think that somebody that I come across that way, then I just want to cower and pull back and say, oh, don't think of me that way.
Yeah. Okay. And I had to really bring it before the Lord and commit it to Him, realizing that it is a gift from God to be this way, as a phlegmatic is, as a was phlegmatic, choleric,
sanguine,
and melancholy. That and usually. Like along with, we're usually two, like strong in one, and then the second one is less predominant. But and we may even be three. But I listened to Florence with Towers. Have you listened to her tapes? I was so blessed, and I just thanked the Lord afterwards over and over that I was a choleric. What's that?
Are you sanguine?
No, the... despondent one.
Oh, melancholy.
Melancholy. That is a very rich temperament put together. And so I think it's good for you to look at what your second personality type is. But I had to settle with the Lord that He made me this way for a reason, and I wanted to use the giftedness He had given me. And I had to work on not... See, the choleric can walk all over people just like a bulldozer, to get the job done. And so those areas, I don't know, I'm sure you have had too, Sandra, just back up, back off, and sit back and just mellow. And Hal, if you see I'm coming on too strong, tell me. I want to know. I want to learn. This is where I became vulnerable, needy. Do you want to share anything on that with your aspect of it?
Yeah, and, you know, to not resent that, but to thank the Lord and ask Him to temper that, because see, Max needs me just like Hal needs Dee in this area of organization, and that you ask the benefits, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can see a problem and pretty well figure out how to solve it.
Right away, almost.
Okay, right away. That's right. And so that's neat to be able to do that. You can walk into a situation where there is no leader, and you can lead. Okay, some of the other strengths of the choleric.
Organized.
Yeah, the organization, the personal organization. But
and we're not deterred by difficulties.
Mm-hmm.
See, to this day, if somebody says that can't be done, and it's almost done down in black and white, it's impossible. I think it can be done, and we will do it.
Let's just talk this through. We can figure it out.
Right. Okay. But let me say on that, the difference is, Hal is the best thing that has ever happened to me. I'm the best thing that's ever happened to him. So as a team, we're bringing our strengths together, and it's enhanced our ministry. And I had a lot of rough edges, as Sandra, I could say, would have as a clergy, that need to be polished off. And God has used marriage in this to do that. So I could balk and fight it the rest of my life, or I could submit to it, which I did.
You ought to read that book, every one of you, Personality Plus by Florence LaTower. It's fun reading. It is hilarious. She's a sanguine writer, and you'll hee-haw all the way through it. But it'll kind of help you to see where you are and where you might fit. Nancy? I think we do. Yeah, the tapes. Good. Yeah. But you would, that's the easiest book to read.
In fact, I have heard she's speaking at the Glen here soon. I don't know when, but I want to hear her. She's a sanguine. She doesn't probably know today is Monday.
Sanguine. Double sanguine.
She goes shopping. She's parked in this mall, and it's, I don't know how many stories up. She doesn't remember what floor she parked on. Which car she took. And this guy is asking her what floor she thought, I don't know. And he says, well, what car do you have? And she says, I don't know. And she goes home, and it's a big ball. She's telling her husband about it. What fun she had. Well, he thinks she's the stupidest thing that ever walked in her. She wants us to repeat. Do you want to repeat the question?
Okay. Okay. The question is, what do you do if you've got what you consider two temperaments that are not beneficial to each other? Let me just correct this just a little bit here, Joanna. I think what we're saying is that every temperament combination, we've got to realize God made us. Okay? And first of all, thank the Lord for the way you're made. There's no bad combination.
Right.
Okay, there's some that are more difficult. In fact, I heard Florence say when you feel like part of you is extrovertish and part of you is introvertish, that just like she's saying, the melancholy choleric. Okay, the what you're facing is the melancholy part of you is saying, you've got to do it perfect. Either do it perfect or don't do it. The choleric sees how to do it and pushes ahead, and this other part of you is kind of pulling back, see? And that pull is what, I mean, I heard Florence say that to Pam Neighbor. Some of you know that she's got that temperament. But first of all, don't despise it, okay? Thank the Lord for it. Read the book. Recognize your weaknesses. Ask God to help you be aware of your weaknesses. Get an accountability partner, somebody that loves you, that'll kind of, I mean, Max and we've had signals, you know, that when I'm coming on too strong, he may stand beside me and go, nobody in the world knows what he's doing, but he's getting my attention, and I'm going, see, and I mean, on some things, when you've got a bad habit, mm-hmm. I'm just not aware, and so get some help, pray. And then trust God that He's going to temper. If you're aware of the weaknesses, don't you think that really makes a big difference?
Right. And like in each book, I have several on them on the temperament, and I need to go over again because you're much more versed on them. But it tells the strengths and the weaknesses. So when you see the weaknesses, hey, that's what I need to work on. And was that? And you mentioned on marriage too. Yeah, and right, and then get some help on it. maybe read the books together, get some counseling. Mm-hmm. So when you go into marriage, it's, you know, if I had understood how and what God wanted to do in both of us as a result of this, it would have made a world of difference. And I think, like Sandra says, that each temperament you have is a gift from God, and He wants to use you. And you can look at yourself as a work of art, as a, like a painting. When you think of an original, look at the value of original. But then if it's a copy, what happens? And so you are, look at yourself as a masterpiece. And see, I spent a lot of time wishing I was like somebody else. When it dawned on me, God made me this way. I'm a work of art, one of a kind, an original, a masterpiece. And God wanted to use me as I was. And if I tried to be with somebody else, like somebody else, or use their gifts, I would lose my value, just like on a painting. If it's a copy, you lose your value. I'm not sure I can repeat that question. Can you?
Well, yeah, you're saying that the choleric temperament does not lend itself to being the supporter. Okay? So that just means we have to work at it. We have to be spirit controlled. But all of the gifts God gives you, either your temperament gifts or your spiritual gifts, God's going to utilize those. He gave them to you for a reason. He may make you the leader of a women's Bible study, you see. There are ways to use those gifts, but all of our gifts have to be tempered, see. I mean, the phlegmatic has to work. I mean, I have to work on pulling back. They've got to work on making decisions, see. It doesn't mean just because you don't have a spiritual gift of giving, you don't give. But it's not the motivating thing. You see what I'm saying? That just fills you with joy and turns you on. But so I think that just to recognize that the melancholy has to fight the depression, because they can't do it. I mean, they can't just sit down in the mud puddle and say, well, here I am. God made me this way. And you can't function if you do that. So you've got to realize that your perfectionist creative abilities of a melancholy, you know, that's great. But what do I do with this depression? That tends to set in.
I think as I have set back with Hal, that Hal has become, and I'm sure Sandra would say this with Max, a stronger leader because of me. And so when we're in a situation, I just wait for Hal, and he takes more and more initiative and has become stronger and stronger. And I don't have to get any recognition. You know, if something is accomplished, it's fine if Hal gets in. I think that's where it is, a crown. And when we're like in a meeting and afterwards, I'll say, Hal, you really did well. I like the way you handle that situation or what. But work on building him up where he gains confidence. And I think that's where it says, you know, that we become a crown to our husbands. But as a cleric, we have to work on sitting back. And for me now, and I could go through it again, it's not an issue not being up in front or getting the recognition. If something is done and Hal gets all the recognition, that's fine with me. But and that probably doesn't happen overnight like that. It comes as you grow in the Lord, because if you do something, you want a little credit. But finally, you just, I think, more and more die to self. Go ahead, and then.
About a couple of months ago, and hard for me to understand that because I've been raised to be proud of being able to be successful, and, you know, if that's what I want to do. And so I was going to keep up with, well, why am I at home if I'm not going to work out at home? You know, if 10 more years or so, maybe I'm probably going to take my children. But I don't understand. That really confused me how I'm going to say that. But
where he said, this pastor said, a woman needed to work in the home and not outside. Okay. And is not having a job outside of the home. And I realize sometimes that a woman is forced to work. Now, when our children were little and at home, I felt that someday I could always go to work. But I could never go back to raising our children. And I can't tell you how much this has meant to Hal and I. But I'm also, think of career and college education as helpful. In fact, a good friend of ours, her husband, she's 46, three kids, 12, 14, and 16. And her husband was killed 2 weeks ago, Wednesday. Well, she will have to work. She has a job to fall back on. You know, our two daughters, as Hal mentioned, are dietitians, registered dietitians in the medical field. If something would ever happen to Chuck and Gary, they have something to fall back on. But for right now, they're in the home raising. You know, it's a value I think we put on our family and our children. Do you want to say anything?
Yeah, this is a whole, you know, can of worms, it could be, the issue, the women's issue, and whether to work in or outside the home. But if you put your priorities on your husband and your children and the role God has called you to, it helps you to make some decisions. It is not, nobody can tell you whether or not you should or should not work out of the home. But the statistics are proving that children desperately need the mom in the home. And some, I want to say, too, that the issue sometimes, if you need extra money, it's not whether you work outside the home. There are some alternatives that you can find ways of supplementing the income through your home. There's you've got to ask God, but there are some ways you can use your degree. And it's very important, I think, that you get a college degree. If you're in college, get it. Your children need you to be broadened in that way. And you're always going to be a teacher with your own family and other young women. And so maybe we don't want to go into this too much farther.
But I think that's good because, like Pam, our youngest daughter, she's doing some work as a dietitian. She's doing some work in the home. They've hired her, and then they hired her back again in the home, $25 an hour. Well, that's pretty good to be able to stay at home. But she's also an excellent seamstress. So she just bought a very, well, $2,000 machine that does everything. But she's hoping that she can do some things in the home. See, she just loves this. It's created something in her. So, you know, like being at home, I always tried to do something. I'm a very crafty person. Well, I tried to do something just to be fulfilled and just to have something to do in the home besides just cooking, cleaning, where I would feel fulfilled and creative. And I'm creative, you know, I like to be creative in the home, but it's something you can fall back on that way too. Okay, what do you do when you feel God is calling you to work and you're driven for a career? But how do you handle that if you get married? Go ahead.
Yeah. We've got this little ball. We throw it back. You might consider, if you feel like the Lord wants you in the workforce and you really feel that's what he wants you to do, I would suggest you not get married. Now, that's a hard one to go with. But guess who pays the price? If you choose to be married, your family pays the price for your, quote, finding your fulfillment in the workforce. See, and I think that's the bottom line with a lot of women today is, now, if God leads you to do that, delay marriage. Because somebody is going to, remember who said something, Jim Covey, everything's going to cost something? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's gonna, you cannot have one thing without paying something for it. So what are you giving up for something else? See? And you've got to ask yourself that question. What's most important to me right now? What's God leading me to do? And he may lead some of you, and I'm not trying to put it down. I'm just saying, don't make your children pay for your feeling fulfilled, for your feeling like you have some status and power. See, some of you probably have come from homes where you wished your mom had been home. See, I mean, because she was not there for you. Well, you've got now, you cannot go back and change that past, but you can make some decisions about your future. And so you have to get before God now. You don't condemn your mom. You learn that from Titus 2, you find an older woman that can help you learn some skills that perhaps you think you missed out on, but you begin, and you begin a new thing. That's what Jesus is all about, starting over. And you can have, if your home was not what you thought it should be, it does not mean that you're ruined for the future. But don't ruin it for your kids. Now that you know, and you see the statistics of what's happening with mom being gone out of the home. And so you see that. And, I mean, you look around at you today and see the messed up, dysfunctional kids. I mean, the abuse and all that. And you think, what's happened? Well, a lot of that would not have happened if mom had been home. Nancy, say,
Mike, you know, let me just say on that, is this a different question?
No, she's got a comment.
Ahead. See, for me, back what I was sharing, and I didn't go into that strongly, but a career was the most important thing in the world for me, that I wanted a career. And my first job, I had an excellent job and had worked my way to the very top position in a year's time that a girl could have. And I quit after a year because I wasn't fulfilled. And right after that, I got another job with the best company in town. And a year's time, I had worked my way to the top position that a woman could hold in the company. And I quit. I didn't find, and I'm not saying it'll be that for you, but that's how it was for me. I wasn't fulfilled or satisfied. And then God led me into marriage and that, and Christian work, and that was fulfilled. So I think you may think that now, and maybe it'll continue that way, but I think, you know, to really search, God, what do you have for me? Is this how you want? Because I understand where you're, that's where I was. But yeah, it wasn't fulfilled in it. And, you know, it got so, like a year here, 6 months there, 3 months here, 6 weeks here, 3 weeks here, till I got to a point I could no longer write on an application how many jobs I had, because I didn't think anyone would hire me. But none of them were fulfilling. So
I worked for 3.5 to 4 years before we married. And sometimes it's really good for you to do that, to see that the grass is not greener on the other side of the fence. Kind of gets it out of your system, that thing of how wonderful and glamorous the workforce is. And, you know, I know what's really hard is when you are trained in a high-paying position. That's where it's hard to lay it down. I mean, it's not too hard for, you know, people making $5 to $9 an hour today to lay down this career for mom, for motherhood. But those of you that are going into getting high-powered degrees, it's going to be a greater decision for you. But remember that we're Christian women. We're just passing through this world. We're not we're not to make our home here. We're just going through, and you only have one life, and we need to make decisions now in the light of what we wish we had 10 years from now, what we wish we'd done. Mm-hmm. So it makes a difference, because the choice is very important about what you decide to do with your life. So you pray and find out what God wants you to do, and if you feel like He wants you to work, then you hold your head high and you mm-hmm. walk out that door with confidence that God has led you in that. And don't let anybody put you down. Okay? But if God has led you to be home, you have that same confidence. Okay?
Did you ever get your question?
I'm sorry, Kirsten. We'll come back. But see, that's not all Titus 2 is about. And you're always older than somebody else. Don't forget that. See, Titus 2 says that the older women, now you think, well, that's just Dee and me. Uh-uh. Because there are young women that you young women can influence right now to walk godly lives and to keep them from making mistakes in their own life. So there's a ministry to be considered also. And go ahead, Alicia.
Does that answer?
It still leaves a frustration. Because, see, what I know what your frustration is, Alyssa. It's because, see, our world has we've been educated. Our society says, go for it. Girls, you are as good and as strong as the men, and you are as capable. And sure you are. Sure you are. But when you get married, that you've got some decisions to make, and you need to learn to just make those decisions in light of the Scripture, okay? What's our parameter? What helps us to make those decisions in life, see? And you take that before the Lord and just ask, see, what do you want me to do, okay? But let the Scripture and the role of the woman help you in making that decision, so that 10 years from now, you're not going to look back with regret on the choices you made. And get some godly counsel. See, and I mean, you look at the workforce today, there's just scads of women out there. But you look at how many young women are being helped by the Titus 2 women. And I think the older women have dropped the ball. I think that's what's happened. See, our women have been encouraged to go into the workforce after World War II, and they were praised. And that's where we've gotten our status. Because somebody says, what do you do? Well, what do you say? You know, you want to be described in terms, well, I'm an engineer, I'm a doctor, I'm a this or that or the other. But to say I'm a homemaker, it's kind of like, where are your brains?
You see? I think fitting in with your husband's, you know, what does he want to consider, like she said, God, but also your husband. And we all have different capacities. Some people can just, you know, do everything. And some just don't have that. So you need to, I know in the ministry, I had to consider my capacity and how much I could handle. So, because we were in the ministry, that I didn't neglect, first of all, my walk with the Lord, and my relationship with Hal, and then the children, and then the home. And I liked what your name? Alicia. You know, if you are at home developing, you know, some skills. Cooking, bread making, or maybe working part-time. I think that's something you have to work out yourself and with your husband and capacity.
Yeah, Alyssa, don't hear us saying that it's, you know, that it's a sin for you to work before kids. I mean, we shouldn't even be saying it's a sin to work after kids. I mean, because that's not our place. The Scripture. You see, we define what we feel like a woman should be by what we see the Scripture saying about her role as a nurturer. and a husband lover, you know, a supporter of the husband. So that's a decision that you have to make. And I don't think there's anything horrible, but you do get used to two salaries. And in our society, that's hard then to cut back on one. So you have to count the cost. And most young women are going to be working after marriage, before kids. And that's fine. I mean, but know what's going on. Recognize the cost of that. And if you don't have to work, I'd advise you not to, because you have a lot more freedom and a lot more opportunities to fulfill yourself and do ministry, not face, you know, when a woman goes into the man's world, stress-wise, we're not geared to take it like they are. I mean, those pressures out there, that dog-eat-dog stuff, that's hard on a woman's emotions, see? Mm-hmm. And that climbing the corporate ladder, that sort of thing, you know. Some women are more temperament-geared to take that, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think a teaching profession, if you're going to do anything, if you have to work or do anything, that's the best one probably, because you can be home. You know, I mean, you can have the holidays with your kids and that sort of thing. But if there's any way, I guess I'm just saying, if there's any way that you can be home with your kids, pray and ask God to show you that way, because they desperately need the mother that God's given them. See, what's the bottom line? See, that's what you've got to ask. Can we change this? Have we drug this subject down into the dirt? Yeah, I mean, can we want to change the subject?
Have a different